clean it up, Ante.
No, I didn't say nothing. Stretching it out ain't good for business. What are you saying?
It ain't nothing you can do about it.
Gosh, we bring up Magic City, your brain goes to dumps.
You brought up Magic City.
No, I just asked about the wings.
You always bring up Magic City. They have the great wings. No one else has ever referenced Magic City.
As far as we know, Magic City is good for their wings. It's a great... Dude, they got... Carter, you shaking your head. Dang, pop the mic right now, Carter.
The London Pepper's fire.
Have you been there?
No, that's the word on the street, though.
Oh, man, you're shaking your head. Like,
that's the word on the street.
Yeah, okay. Word on the street.
I mean, Lou Will left the bubble for it. It's got to be good.
One of my friends is listening who will tell my family that I went there.
A.K.A. his mom is listening.
Exactly. You can't admit it.
Yeah. You still haven't left the house yet. He's still sleeping on mom's couch.
Young love is so cute. My wife hates my guts, so she doesn't even listen anymore. Never has, never will.
Yeah, Anna doesn't listen.
Thanks, Joe.
Well, no, Anna listens after she drops Chesa off to catch me slipping at 9 o'clock hour, which is why I'm always buttoned up at 9 o'clock.
Slipping. I am slippery.
Yeah, I'm always buttoned up at 9 o'clock hour. If you notice, I do all my material, run all my material from 6 to 8. She ain't firing up YouTube.
My mom is really like, she wants to have a conversation with you about having the doobies at a strip. She thinks it's really bad. It's a bad idea.
I think it's a great idea.
She thinks it's a horrible idea.
It's so bad, it's good.
She's like, I love him, and I just don't know what he's thinking.
I'm thinking of content. I'm thinking of show promotion. I'm thinking of numbers.
This is not BET After Dark from back in the 2000s that you and I used to watch rap videos.
BET Uncut?
Uncut, that was what it was. This is not, what is it, get your eagle on? What was that one? Vanelli? What was it? Not Tip Drill.
They had a couple of them.
Just outlawed.
They had a couple of them.
Remember, we are a family show.
We saw the credit card get swiped. Trust me. 888-957-9570. Is this the biggest regular season game for Kyle Shanahan? Why or why not? Let's get serious for a second. 888-957-9570. BPA thinks it's the biggest regular season game in the career of Kyle Shanahan as head coach of the 49ers. I disagree.
Are we talking about, like, psyche? Because clearly there's, like, a standings conversation. Yeah. We're like, all right, look, you lose on Sunday. Season's not over.
Exactly.
You know, they can still go on a run. But psychologically, for the fan base, I think a lot of people are like, you got to prove to me you can beat this team.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, the same thing could be said. You know, obviously you referenced the Niners against the Dallas Cowboys in the 90s. That's a great one. But, like, I think of, like, last year, for example, like the Giants, right? Mm-hmm. To get through the Dodgers, you got to beat the Dodgers to prove to me that you can actually do something in September or in October, right? Mm-hmm. There are certain benchmarks you have to hit before I can say that you're going to be one of those teams. The Niners have been wildly successful. This team, they got to get through one time, though. They just do. It's a checklist. Is this bigger than week 17 against the Rams on the road to clinch and get in the playoffs? No. Is this game bigger than Seattle, up in Seattle, 2019? No, not even. I think it's bigger than that New Orleans game. In retrospect, that was a coming out party, that New Orleans game.
48-46 game?
Yeah. That was a coming out game. That was a huge litmus test.
That was coming off the Ravens' loss in the rain, which they lost 20-17, a very physical football game. And the week before, they beat the Green Bay Packers. Remember, we kept talking about that gauntlet. We're going to see how real the Niners are. They were down some guys in that New Orleans game. They got 46 points and ended up winning a shootout. That was a hell of a football game. Is it even bigger, this game coming up on Sunday, than last year's Philadelphia game in Philly? That would just, the tone of the week.
Looking
the
back, vibes on, I'm getting. Let me ask this. Looking back on it, could you say, now that you've seen it, was last year, that Eagle game of the regular season, was that the biggest moment of the year?
What's that?
Was the Eagle game, now looking back on it, was that the biggest moment of the year for the Niners during the regular season? I think it was. It's pretty clear.
It's clear. Yeah, no doubt.
They took off.
I'm just thinking about...
And they basically crushed the Eagles' psyche. Did it not?
I see. I think you're onto something here. I'm just thinking about the vibe. Well, I was going to get to here, because you're right about all those points. I agree with all those points.
But going into it, it's like, oh, this game's big, but it's not the biggest of the year. It's not over.
I just remember the attitude and the vibe and the passion that week from the fan base. I don't feel that same passion this week leading into this game against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Is it because we've lost to them twice, not just once? And the Eagle game, like, you lose your quarterback, so it felt like you didn't even have a puncher's chance.
That, and there was a lot of back and forth trash talking.
That's true.
There's a lot of back, and then there was a situation with us in Philadelphia.
That's true.
And we kind of took it to another level.
Well, it's personal.
You know, it was personal. For some reason, this should be personal this Sunday, but it doesn't feel like it is. It feels like there's a lot of fear, but it doesn't feel personal. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Look, as lifelong Niner fans, I'm telling you, this game, it's not everything, but it's a lot. This one's a big one for me. I'm so pumped up for this one. And if we come out of a victory, I think everyone's opinion of how big it is, I think a lot of Niner fans are lying to themselves right now. Oh, it's not that big, because they don't want to be let down again to that guy, to this team, to that coach. They don't want to be let down anymore. And I get that. You're kind of like in denial of how big it is. But I think if you win this game, come on, we're all going to come in next week and be like, this team can do anything.
Yep, there's no doubt Monday's going to be, the tipper bit of Monday's show is going to be determined by what happens in those 3+ hours at Levi Stadium. And if they do beat Kansas City, who's 5-0 and undefeated, they have Patrick Mahomes, oh my gosh, you know what's going to start happening again around here? Super Bowl talk. That's what's going to be happening. Super Bowl talk. That's what's going to happen.
Well, what's going to happen is we're going to say, Purdy beat Mahomes, right? Even if it...
All that's coming in
there.
He
can throw for 100 yards and three interceptions. It's still Purdy beat Mahomes.
Since we're asking the question, is this the biggest regular season game for Kyle Shanahan? What are we going to say about Kyle Shanahan on Monday if they win this game?
Wow. I hadn't really even thought about that. He's learned how to adjust against this opponent. Spagnuolo's had his number.
Yep.
Right? Spags has had his number. And not necessarily all game, but in crucial situations. See, I think the only way this works for the Niners in terms of, like, catapulting them, you kick the ever-living you-know-what out of them and run them out of the building, which seems really hard to believe. You win a back-and-forth game. I almost would rather, if you're asking me between the two, kicking their butt or winning a back-and-forth game, I think winning a back-and-forth close game against Mahomes and Andy Reid, that to me would be like the ultimate, like, let's go!
Yeah.
Like, I want it to feel like a playoff game.
And Andy Reid doesn't really get blown out either. So, no. I mean, can you believe this about Andy Reid?
I don't think Mahomes ever gets blown out.
No, it doesn't feel like it. Can you believe Andy Reid? He's been coaching in the league for 26 years. 26 years. 3 to 26 years, he's won less than 8 games. In just 3 to 26.
Yeah, that's unreal.
That's kind of absurd. He had a 4-12 years last year in Philadelphia. His first year in Philadelphia, he went 5-11. And in 2005, he went 6-10. That's it. He's won at least 8 games every single year as coach. I just find that fascinating. But when it comes to Shanahan, I already know what some people are going to say. They're going to like, yeah, this is great. Great win. But you got to do it when it matters.
Well, that's obvious.
So that's going to happen.
That's obvious. But I think for galvanizing the season and unifying the locker room, they need this one. They do. They just do. Like, Nick Sorensen. Excuse me. Nick Sorensen.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't think Nick Sorensen could use a win and stifle Patrick Mahomes to just shut everybody up? Well, I don't care if Rashee Rice is out. I don't care if Pacheco's out. I don't care. Kelce could leave the game 1 minute in. If you slow down Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and the Niners win this game, how good does the defensive side of the ball feel? How good does the confidence of that defensive side of the ball feel today?
Not only that, they're going to feel really good. And what Patrick Peterson was saying, you know, when he was on with this last hour, Patrick Peterson, of course, an NFL Odyssey insider, First and Pod, his podcast, you can go check that out, was pretty damn good. Patrick Peterson was discussing how the safeties and these young corners will get targeted by Andy Reid. He will find your weaknesses. Herm Edwards kind of said the same thing. He's going to look at your weaknesses, your deficiencies, and he's going to attack it over and over and over. So that's why I can't wait to talk to Jake Hutchinson to figure out who's going to play linebacker opposite of Fred Warner. Because if it's Devondre Campbell, we saw what they did with Oren Burks.
I mean, come on.
Oh, my gosh. You imagine Devondre Campbell? I'm not trying to bash you, young man. Holy smokes. If they target number 59 over and over, we're going to have a long day. It's going to be a long day around here.
I got a couple of players I want to ask Jake about, and one of them is Ricky Pearsall. Yep. The other one is Malik Mustafa. And the third one is Jordan Mason. Are these guys available on Sunday?
We're going to get the injury report from Jake Hudson at 9:20 here on the Morning Roast. Real quick, Shanahan was speaking yesterday. He was talking to the media. And we'll get to Telmo on the other side. Telmo, we'll get to him before Jake. Shanahan was discussing Spags' defense, how they blitz, right? He goes, before the Super Bowl, they were blitzing 20% of the time. In that Super Bowl game, they blitzed 35% of the time. And they played a lot. We got to get that cut. It was man defense. I got to get to church.
When
you talk about man defense and blitzing, and that they did it 20% of the time in the regular season, and in the playoffs or in that Super Bowl, they did it 35% of the time. And they upped the usage up in the fourth quarter. So could we see a lot of man blitzes? Probably.
I feel like the Dominic Pooney addition changes the offensive line and how they attack us. Chris Jones lined up over center and right guard in very key points of that game. And I want to see what it looks like for Chris Jones this time around.
Here it is right here. Shanahan's on Spagnuolo's defense. He says it's better than ever.
I think it's gotten better and better each year. I thought last year was the best defense that we played all year, and I feel that way this year so far. So they got guys who've been playing a long time together. They've been doing his scheme for a while. He's been doing a scheme for so long, but they continue to add to it. They continue to fine-tune it, and I got a lot of respect for him and his scheme.
All right, we'll get to Telmo on the other side. Jake Hutchinson, we're going to get deeper into Chiefs and Niners. Who's in? Who's out of the lineup? Who's been practicing? Deebo Samuel had a wrist injury that came up on the injury report. What's going on with that as well? That's all coming up, brought to you by Crystal Geyser.
Hey, it's Brian from San Ramon. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Shanahan, run the ball.
Got to run the ball this week. We'll get into the stats with the Kansas City Chiefs. Jake Hutchinson coming up in moments. What a fun show today. Fun show. We got Baldy in studio all day tomorrow. He's flying to the Bay Area. He'll be here tonight. He'll be in studio tomorrow. We got some roasters coming in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll do some Q&A with Baldy. Ask him anything you want to. 888-957-9570. Breakfast with Baldy tomorrow morning as we get ready for Chiefs and Niners. Don't forget, download the Odyssey app. 95.7 The Game, thousands of other stations, and millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, great podcasts like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys are all available right now. So we'll get to Jake Hutchinson on 95.7 The Game Insider in just a second here. Let's go to Telmo. Telmo in the city. I always love when Telmo calls. Does this win? Is this the biggest game for Kyle Shanahan in the regular season?
No, I don't think it is. And here's why. For Niners fans, it's a huge game. We want to get that monkey off our backs. But if we win, the national pundits, the national media is going to be like, the Chiefs were banged up. This is just a regular season game. The Niners need to get it done when it matters in the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. But here's my thing personally with this game. Obviously, I want it to be a W because the Niners are 3-3. So whether they're playing the Chiefs or the Jacksonville Jaguars, I just want to get the W because the record needs to get to improve. But what I'm looking at is I don't want the Niners to beat if the Chiefs play bad and the Niners play just only slightly better and win by 3, that's not going to move the needle for me. What I'm looking for is defense to play better, to be solid, to get off the field on third down. And I know it's against Mahomes, so that's asking more, but that's the growth I want to see. I want to see special teams put together a whole mistake-free game and play well. People are asking, oh, Kyle, run the ball. Jordan Mason's banged up. Deebo has a wrist injury. If something happens, how are they going to do that with Garrido? So they need to figure out other ways to be successful without relying on running the ball. And I think this game just has a lot of variables that what's more important to me is how they play and how they win as opposed to just getting the W.
Good call, Tomo. I'm with you on a lot of those points there. Tomo was talking, Shasky. Just noticed a trend. So Carter was bringing up that regular season game when the Chiefs won 44-23. The Chiefs outscored the Niners in the second half that day, 30-10. They outscored her by 20. They won by 21. The Super Bowl, just last year in Las Vegas, the Chiefs outscored the 49ers in the second half, 22-12. 22-12. All right? And then you think about Super Bowl 54. Game was tied at 10. You know this off the top of our heads. Final score is 31-20. Game was tied 10-10 at halftime. They outscored the Niners 21-10 in the second half. You get the message here? You see the trend? They're finishing games better than the 49ers in these three matchups.
Well, and it feels like the offense is getting a little stifled. You know?
10-12-10.
Spagnuolo
10-10-12.
Has got the upper hand on him right now. Why I think this is a big litmus test for Kyle's offense.
There is. This really is.
I don't care about who's out, who's in. And I disagree with him on the run game. I think the run game is vitally important.
They have to run the ball against Kansas City.
The last couple of times they've been outrun. The only game they outrushed them, I believe, was the game that they lost at Levi's Stadium. I think the Niners ran for like 150 plus in that game. I could be wrong, but I the other two, the Super Bowls, they got outrushed.
Yeah, hell, in that game, 44-23 Levi's, Kansas City, 112 rushing yards, Niners 101.
There you go.
So, you know, you don't want to get pass happy against Kansas City. So before we get to Jake, I saw this from David Lombardi from the San Francisco Standard, and I guess he got this from PFF, Pro Football Focus. Mahomes absolutely wore out the middle of the field in the Super Bowl versus the Niners. Mahomes was 24 of 26 for 256 yards throwing between the numbers the last time he faced the Niners.
Slants,
the Super Bowl.
Crossers, drags.
Screens.
Yeah, screens. I mean, like,
24-26.
Yeah.
256.
Yeah, that was the second Dre Greenlaw got off the field.
77% of his yardage came between the numbers.
Doesn't surprise
Unbelievable.
Me.
So we talk about these linebackers, who's going to be in, who's going to be out. Let's get to our main man, Jake Hutchinson, 95.7 The Game Insider. He's been at practice. He's back from his European extravaganza.
Must be nice.
It must have been very,
Everybody's
very nice.
Everybody's going to Europe but
yeah.
me.
Yeah, no, yeah, you got to get out there, man. Get that passport stamped.
I'm probably not going to go there anytime soon.
All right, Big Hutch joins us courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Of course, we love River Islands in Lathrop. What's up, Jake?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's going on? What's the word, man? Glad you're back on the mainland here. Let's get down and dirty here.
Jake,
with the 49ers.
I have actually some beef to take up with you. You've been appearing on Willard and Dibbs a little too much for my liking. I mean, I thought you were our guy.
Hey, listen, man. Whoever calls first gets my services.
Well, touch pass. You know, I guess,
it's actually not a Jake problem. I'm not mad at Jake.
God.
Jake, you got to get your shots up. You got to get your touches. More airtime for you. So I'm not mad at you. I double dip sometimes too when I do other shows and other stations.
Hey, George Costanza, no double dipping.
No, you always double dip. It's okay to double dip. This is a Lucas Alexander issue. What Lucas likes to do.
It's not me, man. It's whoever calls me first.
It's a trend. Lucas and Evan. And I'm going to throw both these guys under the bus.
All right, let's start here.
Hold on. Before we start. I'm in the middle of something first before we get started. Lucas and Evan, they love to take a guest that we introduce to the airways. I seen it happen with Laura Britt. I seen it happen with many others. Well, all of a sudden, wait a minute. We brought them onto the show, and nobody even thought about having them on the show because they were "quote unquote" not good radio.
Saying that you made Jake Hutchinson?
No, I'm saying that we're trendsetters. We are trendsetters.
That's a ratnitch bit.
Not me. We are trendsetters. We introduce people, and we give them the platform. And actually, you know, people want to steal from us. It's all good. All right, back to Niners Chiefs. Who's in? Who's out? Who's not in practice?
What's going on here? I don't know.
I was trying to get through it. Jake, you there?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, Malik Mustafa, what's going on? Why was Odom playing so much in that game last Thursday?
Yeah, Mustafa had the little, like, low ankle sprain, but based on, like, his reaction after the game, and he's been practicing, I think he's been limited, but, like, he said it's not going to be a long-term thing. So, I mean, at most, he would miss this week, but I don't know. The way he talked about it makes me think he's going to play this week. We'll see.
All right, so he may play. All right, Jordan Mason, how's he looking?
Yeah, I got him in fantasy.
AC sprain. Well, who cares about your fantasy?
Am I starting him or am I not?
Who cares about your team? About the Niners right now. Jordan Mason.
Yeah, we'll see throughout the week because he was out there, but he's in the blue non-contact jersey. You know, he's moving around. He's practicing. I think for him it's going to be like pain. And whether that thing is like a risk of being displaced or aggravated anymore, I think we'll know more on Friday when Shanahan talks. But he was out there yesterday. Obviously, it's a shoulder thing, so he's moving well. For that, I feel like, can he take hits? Can he, you know, catch the ball? I think that's all going to be a real question for him. I don't have a gut feeling on it right now at all. I think it depends on pain and whether he can take shots like he normally takes. But if he does play, I doubt they're just going to, like, tote the rock with him like they have, just every single snap. I'd expect a little bit more Isaac Garendo, but, you know, Kyle Shanahan, he's shown he's a little bit of a sick man, and when it counts, he goes with the guy he trusts.
So, wow. Who would, if he doesn't go and they limit his carries, would it be just a lot of Isaac Garendo and Patrick Taylor Jr.? I'm a little surprised they didn't bring in another running back this week.
Yeah, I mean, they've got Keyshawn Vaughn on the practice squad, so if it gets to that, I think they'd bump him up. But yeah, you're right. I think they've got they have the injuries at kickers that they're like, they need a third kicker on the practice squad.
Yeah, hurts,
so they had to go there. They picked up Adrian Amos, who used to play for the Packers on the practice squad because of the safety concerns. So, I mean, the fact that they didn't pick anybody up, you know, is it probably a positive sign? But yeah, I think they probably go with Garendo heavy. Taylor seemed like they trusted him a little bit more, at least initially. But after what Garendo did, I think he'd be the clear number two.
Ricky Pearsall, Deebo Samuel. Well, is the injury serious to Deebo? And will we see Ricky Pearsall make his debut on Sunday at Levi's Stadium?
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about Deebo. He was in like a blue non-contact jersey. And he was, you know, limited, but he was out there, he was dancing, he was catching passes. The vibes were honestly the best I've seen all year yesterday. I think Pearsall is a huge part of that, but everybody was loose. Debo's dancing, Pearsall's dancing. I don't know if Pearsall's going to play. We got the chance, me and some other beat writers, to talk to him off the record yesterday, so I won't share any of what he said, but his energy was so positive. And, you know, he doesn't know what the plan is yet. And Shanahan obviously said he's going to wait until the week sort of progresses, see how practice goes. But, you know, I think the way he's running out there, like, it's awesome to see. And, you know, I think maybe they wait until after the bye. But I think it's going to be hard to keep this kid off the field, just how energized he is to be at practice, just the way he's moving. The way he can change things in man coverage and help them there when Debo's pretty bad in man coverage situations. So we'll see. It's hard to tell. Shanahan made it seem like he won't play this week when he talked on Monday. But I don't know. I just think it's hard to keep this kid off the field too much longer, you know, if he's ready to go.
Shasky, did you see IU shorts yesterday?
What color
were
they?
Good.
What color
they're like black and red, right, Jake?
Yeah, he was wearing, everybody's like checking their shorts, triple checking what they're wearing after that incident.
It was like black and red.
Well, all right, can we get back to the Pearsall thing? Look, I'm not trying to be a hater, and I'm not trying to be some pessimist or just extremely skeptical. I always kind of like try to caution myself to take a deep breath on the young players stepping right in and being impact players at wide receiver on a run first team for Kyle Shanahan. Like, the way I'm hearing the play-by-play guy talk about Ricky Pearsall, he's talking about him like he's Jerry Rice, and I'm not trying to say that he's not wrong. He's clearly informed, but like, should we all take a deep breath, or do you actually buy in that this guy can be a factor on this team? Because there's a lot of mouths to feed offensively when you're throwing the ball. I have a hard time thinking that they're going to change everything for him. I don't know. Where does he fit in? I don't get it.
Yeah, I think there's two parts to that. I think you make a very good point about this is a rookie. This is a guy coming off a literal gunshot wound who had a shoulder injury before that, and he had very limited time in training. Yeah, that is a legitimate reason to say, all right, let's, you know, press the brakes a little bit, slow things down. Like, what can we really expect from him? I think that's totally fair. I think we don't know, you know, where he's going to be at conditioning-wise and all that. I think they're going to give him enough time to ramp up if he's not ready this week. I think that's all fair. That said, I don't think he needs to be a guy that you fundamentally change the offense to bring in. I think he's someone who is so physically talented and such a crafty route runner that you can put him at any single position as a wide receiver. And especially, I think, Deebo Samuel's Z sort of flanker spot. Because, you know, the reason I think the 49ers drafted him amongst many is in the Super Bowl last year, Deebo could not separate from Trent McDuffie. And that's a huge reason they lost. I think Pearsall's a guy who, in man coverage, can at the very least test it in a way that Deebo can't. And so I think as this season goes on, Pearsall is a guy that you can put in Debo's spot a little bit more, especially in situations where you're expecting man coverage. And it doesn't have to be every snap. It doesn't even have to be most of the snaps. but mix him in as the season goes, and I think he's going to really test defenses in a way that the 49ers just don't have outside of Ayuk and, yeah, in a different way, Kittle.
So, all right, so they're facing the team that we need a guy like, what are the chances he suits up against the team it feels like he was drafted for, or at least the scheme he was drafted to go up against? What do you say, 75% he suits up, 40% he suits up? What's your gut? This is a gut.
My gut is less than 50% just on the way Kyle Shanahan talked about it. You know, and he obviously, you know, they were talking about him being a little gassed after practice on Monday just because he's going full speed and everybody else is, you know, enjoying a midseason practice. There's stuff to get back to where he needs to be back in the rhythm. That said, like, I've been saying for a couple weeks now that this is the guy that, like, I think you want him against the Chiefs. I think if he's not ready, they just won't play him. But my gut feeling is like it's probably like a 1 in 3 chance that he plays, like not out of the question, but just the way Shanahan talked about it Monday, you know, I'm not sure. But again, this guy he's energized. I don't think you can underestimate just how much of a boost it would be just to introduce him on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs, like a game that everybody's going to go into that stadium pretty nervous. And then you bring Ricky Pearsall back. Listen, they're going to make the best decision, but I'm with you. I think if he's ready, you put him out there. Not a lot, but like a few snaps. He can be a difference maker, even if it's just a few, just to get other people open. So,
yeah
I'm going to say like a 1 in 3 chance, but not out of the question.
Boy, yeah, he's right. The hype on Ricky Pearsall, man, it's like, wow, this guy runs. I hear people say he's the best route runner on the football team already. I'm like, whoa, let's see him play a game on Sunday. We're talking to Chick Hutchinson here on 95.7 The Game Insider on the River Islands guest line. All right, defensively, I'm really concerned about the opposite linebacker, Fred Warner. We saw that Super Bowl, Jake. We all watched it. Once Dre Greenlaw went out, Travis Kelce went off as he had Oren Burks running all over the place, didn't know where to line up. Logan Ryan was playing the nickel. Lenore wanted to play the nickel, didn't get that opportunity here. So what's going to happen opposite that linebacker? We saw Campbell. I thought Javondre Campbell, I didn't see much of him in the fourth quarter. Could be wrong there. Who's going to play the opposite linebacker spot opposite of Fred Warner here on Sunday against the Chiefs?
Yeah, they've been pretty mum on that. But, like, if it was me just looking at how this is played out, I would start D. Winters next, you know, to Fred Warner. Just because, like, whatever you lose in the run game, like Campbell, sure, he's much bigger. Winters is a bit undersized, kind of like a mini-me of Dre Greenlaw, just because he plays with his hair on fire. I just think, you know, when I saw in training camp, I saw Winters able to go sideline to sideline and cover guys. He's got that speed, that flexibility to just cover guys. And I think you lose a lot with Devondre Campbell. Like, he's just, listen, his head might be in the right place.
He stinks.
He knows a lot about the game of football, but he's an older guy and his body is just not kept up. I would probably start D. Winters in this game.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, I he just hasn't been good at coverage. I'm with you all the way there, Jake. Go ahead, Shasky, get in here.
Jake, the Niners going to win this game or what? I'm bringing my son out there. I mean, geez Louise, I need them to get a victory. You know, I wanted to bring him to the Cowboy game, but it's too late. Michelle won't let me. My wife, she won't let me bring him out. I'm very sorry because, you know, he's got to go to bed by 7:30. So do you think we're going to win this game? Like, I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be fired up. I'm pumped. Are we going to win this game? Is my son going to see the Niners beat the Chiefs finally?
My gut feeling is no, and that's just because in both of the Super Bowls that I've previewed, and I've looked at it, and my gut has been like, well, the Chiefs do have Mahomes, but I think the Niners are the better team. I think they can scheme around. And I've tried to be logical about it, and I think the Niners can do a lot of that stuff, but it hasn't worked out. So I'm just going to flip it, and I'm going to say no. The Niners are going to lose to the Chiefs, and then, you know, who knows? Maybe it flips around, and the logical part, you know, wins out. And the Niners actually flip the script and win. So I guess this is a reverse jinx on my part, but my gut is Kansas City is just, they take every little yard. They're going to wear the defense down by taking those dink and dunk passes and just really exhaust the Niners, you know, already stretched thin defense down the field. And unless the Niners force some turnovers, it's just going to be a situation where you get Mahomes in the fourth quarter and it's heartbreak. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that's what my gut says.
Is this the biggest game for Kyle Shanahan in a regular season? As coach of the 49ers, Jake?
You know, technically the Seahawks one was bigger, but from an emotional standpoint, like, I don't think you can undervalue how much it would mean to say we got the monkey off our back. We actually beat Mahomes, because everything fundamentally is based around, if you get to the Super Bowl, you expect to see him there. And if you can't prove to yourself that you can beat him, I'm just saying, like, you go into that game, are you really going to truly believe you're going to pull it off? I think this would go a really, really long way into both jumpstarting them going down the rest of the season, and if they get back there and it's Mahomes, giving themselves belief that, like, okay, we actually proved to ourselves we could do this. So I don't know if it's the biggest game of Shanahan's career, but it's pretty massive.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. That's where I stand with that one. It's pretty massive. You're right. Jake, thanks for the time as always, brother. Keep doing your thing at practice.
See you, buddy.
Appreciate you guys.
Anytime. Don't be cheating on us, dog. Don't be cheating on us. Jake Hudson on the River Islands guest line. That's Lucas Alexander Evan. They just piggybacking off our guests, man. How many new guests we've... Look. I don't know. Never heard of them. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We get credit for that, Chasky. Don't we get credit for that?
Life's about credits and demerits.
Hey, man. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of which, credits and demerits. I think it's four down territory.
When the stakes are high.
It's scary hours for teams out there playing the 49ers this year on Sundays.
And you need a play to be made.
I'm afraid that it's going to have to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets it done.
You are in four down territory. The four biggest takes of the weekend on the Morning Roast.
Is that your real media voice? Is that you trying to be Mr. Broadcaster?
This is when I'm doing, like, media voice, you have to smile. And then you have to be Bonte Hill. How you doing, everybody? No, it's me. I know that the Warriors just lost by 17, and they blew another 15-point lead. But, boy, was it great to watch Steph Curry do Steph Curry things. Ain't that right, Festus?
No, see, that's not right, because of the Steph Curry documentary, Underrated. You should go check that out. Shout out Steph. Underrated, you can hear my voice in there. Boy, the Warriors went down to New Orleans and laid another clunker. They get blown out in the Smoothie King Center. I think that's what I said. I don't know.
You remember exactly what you said.
He's got it verbatim. Literally.
No, like, I actually cringe every time I hurt my voice.
Are you guys ready for four down territory?
I am.
All right, let's go first down.
I don't want to get the fourth down.
All right. First down, gentlemen. Excluding Kansas City, and Chasky, I'll start with you. Excluding Kansas City, what team currently has the best quarterback situation in the National Football League?
Wow. See, I think of this guy, and I know Lamar, there's a big case from Josh Allen's my favorite, probably, player in the NFL, not named Patrick Mahomes, even though I hate Mahomes. I also love him. I'm going to go with Josh Allen. I think he's awesome. That third down play the other day against the Jets, game on the line, I go, there's no way he's handing this ball off. He's going to keep it. He's going to read that end, and he's going to juke him, and he's going to get the first down. He's going to slide. And what did he do? He did all of those things. I think Josh Allen is my favorite quarterback, and I think he is the best quarterback, not named Patrick Mahomes.
That was the question. The question was the best situation, and the best situation that the quarterback is in happens to be in Green Bay. Jordan Love is in the best situation.
Okay.
Has a great running back, has great receivers. You don't know who's their number one. I don't know who their number one, two, three, four. He's got two tight ends. He's got a good defense. So Josh Allen is the better quarterback, but the better situation is the Green Bay Packers for Jordan Love. That's my first down. I already got a first down. I don't even need to get fourth down.
Carter, what do you got?
That was a touchdown.
The best situation is Brock Purdy, if we're talking about this.
Wow.
The money, take it into account. I mean, he makes nothing, and he's an MVP candidate last year.
I do
no,
like that.
No question.
It's all like right. You, Carter, here at 95.7 The Game.
Dude, Carter's crushing it. I'm going to put a bow on this one for first down. I'll go CJ Stroud. I mean, with the Texans right now.
Nico Collins hurt right now.
That's fine. I'm trusting CJ Stroud. He can elevate other talent around to know who Nico Collins was before CJ Stroud. So
yeah,
I'll say that.
That's true.
Let's go to second down, gentlemen.
Those are all good answers. I think everybody gets a
good answer. Good answer, guys. Yeah. Good answer.
Good
there
job.
We go.
Everybody gets a cookie.
I don't know. Ray Davis and Cook, and they got a nice running game, and that division stinks.
And let's go to second down, because we're going to do the inverse of that first question. What team currently has the worst quarterback situation? Bonte Hill.
Oh, you got to start with me on that one? Jeez, Louise.
Well, I get
the worst situation. All right, the worst situation. It's easy to say the Carolina Panthers. It's kind of easy to say the Cleveland Browns. It's the Dallas Cowboys. It's the Dallas Cowboys. Well, you got that owner, and you got that GM, who is also the owner, and you got that head coach, and you've got that running game, and you score 9 against the Detroit Lions defense. It's the quarterback. That situation is terrible for Dak Prescott. I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys, a little outside the box situation.
So, no, it's interesting you say that. I do want to talk about Cleveland's quarterback situation. Yeah. I think they're in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. We'll get to that in 6 minutes. The worst situation to be in, though, is I draft a franchise quarterback that I hope to be in the top 5, and he's not good. And then the 38-year-old actually is good. And the team clearly looks better with him, and I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
The Indianapolis Colts are in the worst spot you could be in right now in the NFL. They have a young guy who's flashed a little but is clearly inaccurate and can't read the field. And then you have an older guy who's not the future of your organization, has zero ties to anything, not even nostalgia with your organization, and everyone knows he's the better player. You're stuck. Like, the Indianapolis Colts are in the oddest spot possible.
Well, it's funny, because before the season, who came up with it saying that the Colts are going to have a quarterback controversy, Joe Flacco? And we were kicking it around, and I was just thinking, he might not be lying.
Wait, so you were right?
No, I'm not saying.
When you were reacting, was it Todd McShay?
Somebody
I
want to
say it might have been Todd McShay on a podcast or something was talking about
somebody
it.
Somebody was saying it. I'm not saying, not about me being right or wrong, but I just agree with the take saying, you know what, I don't think Anthony Richardson is that good. And he's right in the sense that if the Colts do sputter and Flacco comes in, they get a couple of wins, all of a sudden, what are we thinking here? And all of a sudden, the Colts, man, they're throwing the ball all over the yard. Flacco looks amazing.
He looks great. But here's the thing, like, if you say, like, the New York Giants, they're going to get rid of Daniel Jones and they're going to draft someone. If you say Carolina, they're going to let Andy Dalton go, they're going to let Bryce go, and they're going to draft someone. Indianapolis just executed a top 5 pick on Richardson, and they're they're too good to get another good pick to get a quarterback. Yeah. They are really stuck. They're stuck. I think you have to play Flacco and just try to make the playoffs.
I do too. I think you got to move off of Richardson. You have to. Our boy KC. What up, Sacktown KC? ESPN 13.
Like, the Raiders are going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah,
that's not
that.
A horrible situation.
Well, ask Devontae Adams. He may say differently.
He's going to a great situation with New York.
Our boy Sacktown KC. KC, Kenny Caraway. 12-4, ESPN 13-20. Thinks Lamar's so much better than Josh Allen, in his opinion. Lamar.
Regular season, I might listen to that. I think as a playoff performer, I'll take Josh Allen.
I think this is Lamar's year. I hope.
Rooting for him.
But
I'm just a huge Josh Allen fan.
Carter, what team has the worst quarterback situation right now?
I'm not going to beat around the bush. It's the Cleveland Browns. Mm. I think if anyone in either of these rooms can name a worse contract in any four major American sports,
bad.
Please let me know.
I want to get into that in a minute.
It's really bad. I'm going to put a bow on this one. I'm going to go Seattle Seahawks because I think they're going to be in that, what you were alluding to, Joe.
Yeah.
They're going to be like just good enough to not get a top quarterback next year. They got Geno Smith. It's good enough to win 7, 8, 9 games maybe, but that's not going to get you a top guy. That's what the Raiders happened last year with Jimmy Garoppolo and Aiden O'Connell. They couldn't get their guy, and Geno Smith is not the guy for them to win a division going forward. So let's get to third down, folks.
It's a good call with Deshaun Watson.
That's what I want to get into.
I also
want to bring up something with Justin Fields, who I'm becoming a bigger fan of because of the way he handles situations. The kid is all class. All class. Go ahead, Spinal.
All right. Right now, gentlemen, if the season ended today, we're going to stick to the NFC here. If the season ended today, your division winners, Washington Commanders in the NFC East, Minnesota Vikings in the NFC North, in the NFC South, you got the Atlanta Falcons, and in the NFC West, it's the San Francisco 49ers. Gentlemen, are those going to be all of your division winners when the season is over?
No. Ooh. I got Tampa Bay winning the South.
Okay.
I still think Detroit... I want to see Detroit, Minnesota
Hell
before
of a game
I make
this weekend.
That's on Sunday.
Yeah.
and it's going to be...
I just want to see it before I make a proclamation there. And I have a hard time thinking that Washington can stave off Philly. As bad as Philly's situation is, like, let's just see it.
Washington was impressive last week against Baltimore.
No doubt.
They didn't shrink at the moment like I thought they might.
And Daniels is having a monster year.
He's a stud.
I'm going to say no, though.
Yeah, I'm going to say no, too. I think Tampa... Atlanta, they're intriguing to me, man. Atlanta's intriguing. I do think Tampa Bay outlasts Atlanta, wins the South. But I think the other three divisions, I see Minnesota actually winning that division. I do. I see them winning that division. I see the Niners winning the West. I think the Commanders can hold off the Eagles. The Eagles, Sirianni is losing me. And I think Dan Quinn... As much as we rip on him, I think he's a better head coach than we give him credit for. He did a hell of a job in Atlanta. Hell of a job. He took that team to the Super Bowl with Shanahan by his side. That was a really good team.
Give Cliff his love.
I'm giving Cliff his love. I'm about to get there. Cliff Kingsbury's doing his thing offensively. I do think the Commanders can win that East Division, but I'd say no, though, because I do think Tampa Bay is going to end up winning the South.
Kata.
I think it's Tampa Bay. I'm with Shasky on that. I think the NFC North is really interesting, but I'm going to take the Lions because I think that we saw Josh McDaniels coach the Denver Broncos to 5-0 when he was their coach. I mean, I think that we're still early on enough where they can start to slide, personally. I'll take Niners in our division, and I'm going to give it to the Commanders in the East. Why not?
Yeah. That Lions-Vikings game.
Spadoni?
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to go Commanders. I'm high on Jaden Daniels, and I'm going Green Bay Packers in the NFC North. I like the Packers.
They got a lot of weapons.
I need that loss of Aiden Hutchinson. Are they going to go get Hassan Reddick? Are they going to do something to shore that up? They need to do something there because that's a massive loss emotionally on the defensive line. I like the Falcons. I like Kirk Cousins. And Niggers are going to cruise in that one.
Fourth down.
Fourth down, boys.
Falcons.
Fourth down.
Falcons tough. Falcons all right. Good.
Fourth down. Third of the season's over, gentlemen. I'm allowing you a Super Bowl mulligan matchup. What's going to be the Super Bowl matchup this year?
Chiefs-Lions.
I'll go Ravens-Packers.
I like that.
Carter?
I'll go Chiefs-Lions with you, Shasky.
Ooh, I like that. I'm going to go with my preseason prediction, because I'm not a coward. I'm going Eagles. Chiefs.
It's not bad.
What was our preseason predictions? Do we even have some on the show?
Oh, well, they're in the vault.
Oh, are they really?
Sam has a secret like file of all these things stashed somewhere. He looks at it 2 in the morning.
Oh god.
Sam is a shirt off man.
I'm
Sammy Loveman, like the guy from the Yankees.
I'm a little shocked at the Lions here because as much as you guys give Jared Goff grief, y'all are rolling with our boy Jared Goff in the Lions.
Well, it's my guy, Ben Johnson.
Oh, your guy now, Ben Johnson. Oh.
Yeah, the selective guy who didn't want to go to Washington.
Oh, you like,
I'd like to get into something here. You brought up the Cleveland Browns situation. Mike Sando wrote an article in The Athletic. It was very interesting, and it was about Cleveland and their situation with Deshaun Watson. Clearly, everyone in the league hates his guts. The NFL wants him to go away. You could say, Joe, he's not guilty of blah, blah, blah. The NFL wants him to go away. This is not me talking. This is everyone who writes and has sources is telling you the league wants him out. And so if they release him before June 1st, $172 million automatically, boom, dead cap for next year. 172, okay? If they do it after June 1st, Cleveland, 118 million. Now, there's an argument to be said. Maybe they just, you know, deactivate him and release him right now and just let that thing hit their books and spread it out over a couple of years and just deal with it and just swallow it. The other thing that was floated out, because he has $92 million guaranteed to him over the next 2 years, and he has a no-trade clause. The other part of this is, if you're Carolina... Or if you're New England and you have $100 million in salary cap, do you just take on the Deshaun Watson contract? Not to play him, to literally release him immediately, but you force Cleveland to staple draft picks to Deshaun Watson's deal to make it palpable for you to absorb the cap hit. So my question to you is, A, if you're Cleveland, is it so bad that you might get a top three pick okay, where you could find his replacement, mm-hmm. that you staple a first-round pick and maybe multiple seconds to just get him out of town, or if you're New England or Carolina, do you entertain, like, hey, we'll just bring him in and we'll take whatever you're willing to give to us because we're not going to land a lot of free agents anyway? How do you do this?
I don't know. That's a tough situation.
It's got an NBA feel, right? Yeah, where you have to staple a pick.
Staple a pick just to get him out of there.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a top five pick this year with the way things are going in Cleveland.
You already
traded Amari Cooper. Za'Darius Smith may be on the way out. Who's to say Miles Garrett doesn't say, you know what, enough's enough. Get me the hell out of here.
Denzel Ward?
Denzel Ward is a hell of a corner.
They could get multiple picks for him.
I mean, they could just have a fire sale. Yes, you basically tank next season, get a bunch of picks.
Is Denver that bad off for just eating the Russ money? Are they that bad?
No, they have a great defense right now.
That's what I'm saying.
They feel like an offensive playmaker two away from maybe being a factor in the AFC. You may have to do that if you're clean. It's an interesting concept by Mike Sando. I'd love to get Mike Sando on about that next week, maybe.
Can we talk with Baldy about this tomorrow?
Yeah, we can do that with Baldy. I got another thought on Fast Five. I'll get to
it
as well.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
You know, I don't know how good of a quarterback Justin Fields is, but I know how good of a human being he is and how the character of him is just high level. He's 25 years old. And Pittsburgh is 4-2 right now. And he's played well. He's gotten better and better by the game. So he was asked, because Russell Wilson seems like he's taking first-team reps, he's probably going to get to start Sunday Night Football against the Jets. He was asked if he was frustrated about the potential of losing his starting job. Fields said that he didn't feel that he has played well enough to secure the position during the 6 weeks. Listen to this quote. I don't think I played good enough, if I'm being real with you. If I'm being real with myself. I think if I did play well enough, I don't think there would be any sort of questions about who should be playing, who should not. At the end of the day, we've got a few wins. Of course, I'm glad about that. But there's areas that I could be better at. I'm just going to continue to work on those and continue to get better. And I know that I'm preparing the same. I'm just doing the same thing I was doing. I'm just going to do my job at the end of the day, whether I'm playing, starting, or coming off the bench. Whether that's helping guys out on the sideline, telling them what I see, helping Russ out if he's out there, just small stuff like that. I've been in both situations before. I played the backup role, and I've also started. As a backup, you prepare the same each week and every week. The preparation doesn't change at all. And he's a low-key guy, and he's been criticized through Chicago, Pittsburgh. I think the character right there says a lot, saying, hey, look, I wasn't good enough. If I was good enough, this wouldn't be a question. But I wasn't good enough, so it is a question, and I take responsibility for that. That kid has a lot of character, man. I wouldn't mind him in my locker room. As a starting quarterback, we've seen a lot better. He's got a lot to improve on. But the character of this young man, he doesn't get the plot enough for it.
Accountability is a lost art. Right?
So much.
It's one thing, like, it's on me when people do that, and it's, like, fake. And, like, it's not on you. You're just trying to deflect. And no, but, like, that is, like, a real statement. That was incredible. I root for the kid. I don't think he's the greatest. I also don't think he's the worst.
No, he's not.
I think he could start for, maybe 10 teams, you know? And I would not touch Russell Wilson with a 10-foot pole. That's just me.
If I was him, I'd just continue to roll with Justin Fields, but it is what it is.
Honest to God, is there any teammate of Russell Wilson's who's had his back?
No. Wait till
doesn't
George
that kind
Pickens.
Of speak volumes on the person?
When Marshawn Lynch, who's as real as he gets, says what he says about Russ, saying that, Pete Carroll said, you need to talk to Russ differently, or just don't talk to him, talk to me, and I'll talk to, like, that's bad. That's all-time bad.
He had the private number, remember that? He wouldn't even give out his phone number to his star running back.
It's just such a...
Just to go over plays and stuff like that. That's all Marshawn wanted to do, is talk football.
It's just phony.
Yeah.
So phony.
Bronco Nation, let's ride.
And they didn't run the football.
Yikes.
Oh my God.
Talking about sports what ifs. I don't even know if that one was brought up.
The best meme of all time is just, it's Pete Carroll hanging out of the fast food line about to hand you McDonald's. Like, would you like me to just hand this to you or step back three steps and fire it at you? It's just an all-time meme.
That's pretty good.
It's him as the McDonald's drive-thru worker.
Guys, it's the 35th anniversary of the 1989 World Series earthquake. That was today, 35 years ago today, the Loma Prieta earthquake. Yep. I wasn't alive for that. My brother was actually born the day after. My brother Ray is turning 35 tomorrow.
Wow.
So happy birthday to him. But yeah, pretty crazy.
And 13 years ago today, We got the keys to our house that we still own.
Oh, congratulations.
I'll never forget that. October 17th. My dad started ripping holes in the walls and stuff right out of the rip. Never forget that. Carla Prieta.
I got to say, boys, I think this is the weekend. They're going to beat them this weekend. It's happening this weekend. That being said, I'm taking Chiefs money line.
Yeah, I know. You're bad.
Got to do the emotional hedge.
Exactly.
That's not a bad
Carter,
bet.
This is how the rich stay rich.
That was Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity at home or on the go. You get the fastest internet to all your devices. Carter back tomorrow. Lubman out until Tuesday. That's it for us. Steiny Guru next. They're going to be talking Warriors rotations. Now I'm always jabbing them. They'll be talking Chiefs Niners.